everybody. Welcome to Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog. I'm Captain Jorge alongside. Taking the three, handed off to our great friend Phil Bonatti. His outstanding show behind the bench. Normally a three-hour proposition, an hour today because it's a doubleheader in the National Football League. You've got a 4 o'clock game with the Bucks and the Texans. You've got the Raiders and the Chargers at 7. We'll have them both for you between the two stations, 1430 and 790. I'll tell you all about the schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his outstanding business. Precision Civil Engineering, again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information at 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. And we'll tell you also at that time about some of the great fundraising that it is able to do for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. Now, lineup-wise for us with our co-host Jackson Moore today, and then, of course, our great friends Paul Leffler and everybody else throughout the week. Let me clarify it for this week. With the travel to Hawaii, and Paul has commitments earlier in the week here stateside, Paul won't be with us. Jackson will jump in today, and then tomorrow when Jackson would normally be with me, Matt Norville, who just called the game, as you know, on Saturday night on Channel 47, he'll be with us. Giants have the schedule, or my show anyway, taken care of on Wednesday with their last afternoon game of the regular season in Arizona. This case, very important games, by the way. The Giants will start tonight there. And then Jackson's second visit as scheduled on Thursday. And as it stands right now, Brian Panish, unless he is again flying to Hawaii at the time, will be with us on Friday. So we'll see about that. But that's the lineup, and we'll get back to Jack Furtick in the next week or so, as soon as the schedule settles in. And like I said, outside of playoff action in Major League Baseball, if the Giants get there, and, you know, they're closer than I thought they would be, say, 3 weeks ago, this will be the last afternoon preemption this week. It'll be the final one of the year with the Giants. So we'll keep you updated on all of that and tell you all about the schedule again later on for both stations, just right around, I don't know, half hour or so from now. But thanks to Ed Dunkel and everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. Before we get to Jackson, other reminders, our great friends at KFC always want to acknowledge the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman, solidly behind the Bulldogs in the Bulldog Bread Collective, part of NIL. And it's great to have this international, national, and local company right here front and center to help out at Fresno State. And right now they've got another great deal going on. For a limited time, they have brought their hot and spicy wings and potato wedges back. This is always a very popular proposition there as well. And so what you see right now is an opportunity to not only slide in with the usual Tuesday and Wednesday deals, but for a limited time, hot and spicy wings and potato wedges are there. And also, where a lot of the other fast food places in particular, or even sit-downs, are right now shrinking the size of your order, but upping the price of your order. The KFC chicken sandwich is still bigger and better than anybody else has, and it is just $3.99 for a limited time. So stop on in the KFCs in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, in Kerman. Pick up whatever you'd like. Outstanding menu as always. And then tell them thanks, if you can, about being part of the solution at Fresno State with the Bulldog Bread Collective, which is so important. And Paul brought it up last week, and Brian verified it on Friday. Guys like Speedy Luke, such a revelation so far. We knew Bryson Donaldson was going to be great. Speedy comes in as a transfer, and you know, Paul brought it up. Bulldog's going to be able to hang on to him if he has the kind of year he's headed toward. This is where the challenge comes in that we've never had before in college athletics, which is bringing somebody in, having them get the opportunity that maybe they didn't get somewhere else, and then you have to worry even early in the year if somebody else is waiting in the wings for next year to take them away. It's a long way between here to there, but it is a legitimate concern, and it may, as once again Donald Meyer said, come down to one word no matter what the question is. And that word, the answer, is money. Anyway, thanks to the local operators at KFC for jumping aboard the Bulldog Bread Collective. The other reminders here. One comes courtesy of Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Been with us for a good long while. another great group of local people. They've been in NorCal, in Central California, since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work, even during COVID. Terrific people. If you have any need at all, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, these are the people that call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or go to the web at leesair.com for more information. Also, Lees brings you the guests for my show and for Phil's, and also the callers from the general public for Phil with the Lees Air hotline, which is 559-320-1430. And by the way, guys, I am buried under an avalanche of emails, and I've said this many times before. In the old days, before this back did this, well, number one, I'd be on location, so it'd be a lot easier. But at this point, because I can't get to the computer that I need, mainly my phone, and all I can do is read your emails and try to address them on air, but I can't get back to you privately the way I used to. So I'm going to try to figure out some way to address these emails, because I apologize that I'm getting so far behind, but I'm doing the best I can. I know I'll sign Jackson, who has enough to do. I'll ask Jackson to take care of all the emails. Solution there. Jorge barked that down, and Jackson's on hold right now, and I'm sure he'll be all for it. You send them to me, I forward them right to Jackson, and then we're ready to go. Anyway, that having been said, please, Jackson, don't hang up. You can call me at 3 o'clock and chew me out for that. As far as the weather goes, that's what Lee's allows us to bring you. Another nice forecast. We're a little bit above the norm for this time of year, but then we fall a little bit below. And one more time, we all know this, until about mid-October, you got to be ready for triple digits or thereabouts. So far, pretty cooperative. 95 today, 99 tomorrow, 98 Wednesday, 91 on Thursday, a chance of rain Thursday in the upper reaches, and Friday with an 89, there may be an opportunity for a little bit of shower activity in the valley floor. We'll see about that. Then right back to 90 on Saturday, and then we go 89, 90 to start fall a week from today, 91, 89. So you can't complain about that. The lows are going to be high 60s to right around 70. The winds are going to be right around 9 to 10 miles an hour. So it's, well, we said it many times, fall is the best time of year in this town. There's no doubt about it. And so it looks like a great forecast. The only proviso that's still hanging out there is the Garnet Fire and the wildfires are still very much a factor. At last check, they reeled it into about 70% containment for the Garnet Fire, but it has already chewed up 59,000 acres. And matter of fact, they have 3,200 personnel there fighting the Garnet Fire. So it has been a major issue, and this state always has the issue, and it's just gotten worse and worse the last several years. Anyway, a good enough forecast as long as the air quality stays okay. If you're in the upper reaches, be careful. There are still some evacuations. A lot of those are being lifted. Check with your local authorities about that. Thanks, everybody, at Lee's again for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. 825-5337, 825-Lees, leesair.com. Check them out. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. The final reminder comes from our longtime friend and great businessman, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Joe has been a booster at Fresno State for three decades plus, celebrating the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business. You can find him at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Again, everything at Superior Pipe, in-house, same-day estimate, same-day service, pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses, everything is there. If you're working at a plant, if you're a maintenance purser, if you're part of a tanker delivery service, if you're working around a boiler, if you're at a school district, anybody who needs valves or hoses or anything, Joe is the guy to see. Great local guy, tremendous Bulldog booster, and tremendous Bulldog fan. Joe's a guy who you can see at practice at Fresno State when he has an opportunity basketball-wise. He's a very good basketball player himself, and so, and someone who's been a longtime friend of ours because of the sport relationship, and it's just terrific to have him aboard, as he has been for a number of years now. And if you stop by, he's there Gabe is there. They can help you. More information, SuperiorPipeUSA.com or Gabe.SBS@gmail.com. They can help you keep your business up and running. If you have a valve issue, for instance, if it goes down, your business can go down. They'll address the problem for you, get a solution, and keep you up and running. Or if you've already gone down, get you back up and running. And if you have time, Joe, I'll spend a few minutes telling you what he does for Fresno State in the way of donation. The best way to go about it right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link there. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle. Information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally under ways to give the individual sports clubs, for instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Furtig will be with me as soon as the schedule opens up again to talk basketball on a weekly basis, even during the football season. Jack has said they'd love to have more members for the timeout club. He said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, FurtigJack@AOL.com. You also have links to other sports. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports are there where you can specify your money to that particular sport. And then finally, as we mentioned earlier, the Bulldog Bread Collective, very, very important. Chris started it at the station, handed it off to Marcus McMarion, doing a terrific job with NIL monies. Again, you have a $20.5 million cap at a university, but you also have your NIL monies, your sponsorship money that sits separately. If you have any sponsorship idea or any donation at all, big or small, contact Marcus at BulldogBread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to our good buddy Joe Cruz allowing us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State and stop by his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Also, thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing, and the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. We appreciate one and all. And speaking of appreciating somebody, I appreciate Jackson Moore for everything he does for the show, for me personally, and most importantly, the fact that he puts up with me, and as opposed to someone else who has to put up with me, he never tells me to go sleep in the car. Jackson, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Just fine. At least lately you haven't told me to go sleep in the car. You've told me to go do something to myself, but I don't want to repeat that over the air. Take care of myself is what I meant. Oh, get your head out of the gutter, Jackson, honestly. All right? Clovis Dave is laughing his rear end off right now, incidentally. Okay, that's all I'm telling you. All right. Jackson, a lot to get to. I want to start because I've gotten so many questions about this, and I've noticed you have on the board as well. You got a 9 o'clock start. I love this at ESPN.com because they want it to be in the day of the game. So they have the start time as 8:59 p.m. Pacific time, okay? Because if you're back east, it says 11:59, because if it goes past midnight, then they don't know what day to put it on. It's not that hard. It would be the next day. They don't want to confuse people is what I'm saying. So it is a 9 o'clock start, our time. You know this well. In Hawaii, they can't. They made a deal they wouldn't start games locally anywhere after 6 o'clock island time because, Jackson, there was a point they would kick it off at 7 or 7:30 and we would have games. We had one as late as 8 o'clock out here, or 11 o'clock out here, 8 o'clock in the islands when ESPN wanted a game a long time ago. But now you've got a 6 o'clock start there, so we still have the three-hour time difference until the time changes. But it is later than people are used to here. And I want to address this because you brought it up as well. The television issue right now, and it's been very complicated, and you know this because you published – how many years did you publish the Hawaii board before you were relieved of your duties?
About a decade.
It wasn't punitive. I didn't mean that. That would exactly be. I'm going to teach you a lesson, Jackson. You no longer have to deal with somebody who's three time zones away from you. They allowed Jackson to step aside because it was other. We talked about it last week. That's enough of that. The thing is, you always have had this issue about how Hawaii wanted to handle their telecast. At one point, they used to be on Prime Ticket in L.A., which started back in the 80s, and it had the Lakers and you had the Kings on there and all of that. It turned into Fox Sports West, and now it's been alphabet soup, right, with all these regional sports networks. But it was great coverage for Hawaii because it put all their games on the mainland, and that was great for recruiting. So you could watch all the Hawaii games on Prime Ticket, and it was a very convenient way to go about it. Then we had it where it was easily available when the Internet first started, and then we got to Spectrum and pay-per-view. First it was Cox Cable, then Spectrum, and they started geo-blocking, and you know this, Jackson, you and I went through it. It just made a mess of things because the geo-blocking meant they wanted to allow the mainland to watch the games, but not Hawaii. And how was it, like $40 a game, Jackson, or something like that to watch? What was the price of that thing initially? Do you remember?
I think it might have been more than that. I was surprised. It's tough to imagine as many Hawaii fans that, well, we used to fill Aloha Stadium, that they would all be paying that type of price each week. And, crowds have dwindled a bit compared to what they used to be, and I'm not so uncertain that had something to do with it.
Well, it's amazing. You would think when you went to the smaller facility now, that would be when your pay-per-view would really kick in. Unfortunately, it coincided with the team not playing all that well. You know, at one point, they had both their basketball and football games on KDOC down in L.A., a UHF station, and it was, again, great for recruiting, but they wanted to get more money out of things. And the long story short, they don't anymore, or at least they're not at this moment, going to try to bilk their constituents. So it is, as far as you know, open on the Mountain West app, right, and no geo-blocking and none of that stuff anywhere, including the islands. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the one caveat on the mainland. You can watch it on the Mountain West app, but not via desktop computer or laptop or even smart TV. So if you want to get it on your TV, you're going to have to screen share it from your phone. It starts to get complicated that way. But the good news is you can get it on your phone or your mobile device, head to the Mountain West app, find the game right there, and that's going to be the easiest way to do it. And then if you have the Spectrum Sportsnet here in town, some cable providers, I believe, do have it available locally. You can watch it via television there.
Right. So what you're telling me is they're still geo-blocking this thing, and I know this just becomes, you know, mumbo-jumbo after a while, but that's the reason that you cannot go onto a desktop computer, because you can't geo-block those apps. You can on the phone, because anybody who deals with NFL Ticket knows this, that the NFL Ticket is all about geo-blocking, and it is done. So even though you're paying for all the games, the local affiliates are able to block you out of the games, forcing you to watch them on your local affiliates. That's something when DirecTV had it that they couldn't do, Jackson. So, you know, say Channel 26 had the 49er game, it would also be available on DirecTV in the game mix, which means you didn't necessarily have to watch the local affiliate, which didn't make the local affiliate very happy, as you might imagine, because the local advertisers don't like that. So what you're telling me is, as long as you can take the app that enables geo-blocking, and as long as you're not within the geo-blocking environment, which is the islands themselves, you're going to be fine, right?
Yeah, everyone on the mainland can get the game on the Mountain West app, no problem. And then if you are in a position where you already have that Spectrum Sportsnet channel, you will get the good fortune of being able to watch it without a mobile device on your television.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? I know why they do it, but it used to be great to have those Hawaii games on late when everything else was done, and, you know, 11 o'clock at night, hey, here's a live game. It's kind of like what it is in the East right now, as it was with Pac-12 after dark, right? In the East, it really was Pac-12 after dark. Those games were kicking off at 11:30 at night back there. So, look, we'll update that a little bit later in the week. All right, I want to start with the press conference. Everything went the way we thought it would go over the weekend, at least from what we talked last week, that they would get a lead and then they would make sure that they were as efficient as possible. I know they worked on a few things during the first half, but Jackson was really about playing a consistent four quarters. How did Matt Entz intone everything to people about this? What was his point of view in the presser?
Yeah, very happy about the team's performance, and it came right out of the gates, not just complimenting E.J. Warner, but both quarterbacks all in one statement at the very beginning. Carson Conklin getting a chance to come out and throw the ball a little bit and looking good in his opportunity too. So, you know, you always wonder how exactly they're going to handle some comments about the next quarterback coming in, especially after the first few weeks and making some plays. But Coach Hens has been very public this last 48 hours or so, saying he feels like he has two or even three good quarterbacks. Jaden Mambo wasn't suited up on Saturday, or he might have got to see him take some reps too there before the game was over. But yeah, just down the line, an impressive performance, and I think it speaks volumes to the fact that the reserves are come in and really taking care of business, more so this game than Georgia Southern. But you know, three touchdown drives late in the game, analytically, all the backups really dominated. The scoreboard didn't say so itself, and Coach Ince has taken a lot of pride in calling this a developmental program and building that depth, and that's going to be key in terms of trying to sustain and retain players or replacing them you can't retain. So a week like that goes a long way long term, but I don't know how much we learned about the team itself other than we learned that they stayed focused and they didn't drop their guard at all.
Yeah, the thing about midweek, Jackson, that I'm not saying that Matt was overreacting at all, but it was apparent to me by his comments that because he came from FCS, that he really was hyper aware of not using those three letters to figure you're going to win a game, and that was something I guess he had to remind people about during midweek. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. On Wednesday, they practiced for about 20 minutes, and Coach Hint said, you know what, you know, this isn't the energy I want to see. You guys, you know, you're not all in. We're going to start over from the very beginning. So everyone get back into your stretching positions, and let's do this over. So he said he's only done that maybe once in his whole coaching career previously, so not something that he goes to commonly. It is a rare case. And having coached at the FCS for quite some time, and especially a power at the FCS, that's one of the big things too, is that when you see an FCS opponent on your schedule, they all kind of get lumped into one category, but there's definitely some FCS teams that are better than others. And as far as Southern goes, they were a divisional winner in the SWAC last year, and they were predicted to do it again. So it could have been a game that could have been more challenging than the final scoreboard read on Saturday, but Bulldogs got everything right on Wednesday, and they followed through and took care of business.
You know, you look at a season and we take it as a whole, and particularly it's the thing that separates football from any other sport, and that is the import of every day. You know, I was talking at the start of the show about the stretch run now for the Giants, a very important week coming up, but they've been playing ball, Jackson, since, as you know, the end of March, for goodness sake. And because of it, you're going to have ups and downs, like the Giants, what, lost 13 of 14 at home about a month ago. In most sports, that would put you dead and buried, right? But in sports like baseball, it's forgiving because you're playing 162. In football, any loss, if you're having any designs of the postseason, can be an absolute devastating turn. But in particular now, you're 3-1 coming off of the non-conference season, and I think one could make the argument that all four games have gone to chalk, including Oregon State, watching Oregon State get mashed last week. So going into conference, do you say this team is exactly where you thought they would be? Are you pleasantly surprised where they're at? Are you concerned? Where are you at vis-a-vis what you thought you'd be looking at as the prelim is done now and everything going forward is all about conference? And as you and I both know, any loss now, you lose the tie break, and that could be it for you at the end. So where are you at with this team?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. I think if you would have told me at the end of the day that you're 3-1, I'd feel pretty darn good about that. The way it's happened has been a bit odd. Of course, totally outmatched at Kansas. That looked ugly. And then they were way beyond expectations in the way that they throttled Georgia Southern, a game that was supposed to be very close. And then the Oregon State game is one where you kind of go back and forth. They pulled out a win. It could have gone the other way pretty easily. And they did exactly what we hoped they would do against Southern here this past weekend. So I think overall it's been probably above expectation. It's been solid. It's, think they've been able to put a good impression on the fan base in the Valley after getting over that very first game, and I think they're in a really good spot. And there's been more injuries than I would have liked to have seen to this point, but also very few of those injuries are, you know, massive season-ending ones. They're guys that we may see roll back in, whether it be this weekend or after a bye against Nevada. But you know, the wild part is you're 3-1 right now. We talked about it in the preseason or the offseason, how they could start 3-0 or 0-3, and it's kind of a whole new deal once you get a conference play. If you lose to Hawaii, it's going to really put a sour taste on where things stand, even though you did win three games. Whereas if you started the season poorly but you beat Hawaii, you'd feel good about your chances in conference. So that's a critical one, and it was just really nice to hear Coach Ince has got a lot of focus and a lot of details already scheduled out. Very confident in his plans about going to Hawaii. It's a trip. We know that sometimes the Bulldogs go through and take care of business just fine, and other times Bulldog teams that should win have a lot more difficult time with the travel and then all the other things that go into it, defending that Hawaii offense. So it sounds like they're going to be as prepared as possible going into this week, and if it doesn't go the Bulldogs' way, it won't be because of the intangibles.
And again, we'll talk more about Hawaii on Thursday. Also, Mark, your comments about Fresno State and what you like to see when they join the Pac-12. I'll work those in when I can. It probably won't be today just because of time limitations, but I will get to it. Jackson, Maddox made the comment that they've only scratched the surface. And look, first of all, health is everything. And before we came up today, again, SportsCenter, we're talking about live if you're listening, obviously, in the podcast, you know, it's a whole different proposition. But if you're listening now at 2:33 in the afternoon, right as we came up, the entire SportsCenter, the 90 seconds, was all about quarterbacks that are injured in the National Football League, okay? You know, Bill Walsh at one point was so frustrated by it, he said we need to have a separate cap for the quarterbacks only because you're going to need so many to survive a year, and if we're going to pay the vast majority of our cap for a quarterback, you don't have enough on that particular cap to keep the depth. Obviously, you lose your QB, you're in big trouble. But beyond that, for a Fresno State, when you look at the running backs, do you say that as long as the running backs are healthy, the quarterback is more
interesting? You know, it was just a perfectly executed play. So, I mean, that's something that should translate. And then you did get to see Carson Conklin, and he did handle his own there at times. So I think you feel good about the quarterback situation. It's at least better than you did the first two games, of course. Running back-wise, you feel really good about the depth. And Bryson Donaldson probably hasn't been on the field as much as we thought he would be, and Rayshon Luke's been able to take on more than we thought. And it looks like there's another three guys that are all ready to handle more. And, you know, that's one thing you never want to see injuries, but I think you do feel pretty good if it's October or November and one of your star running backs go down, that Elijah Gilliam or Brandon Ramirez or even Jonathan Arsenault can come in and keep the offense churning without too big of a drop-off. So the depth of those two positions is pretty critical, and it looks good. And then you kind of just hope the O-line sustains. And I think there's opportunities for more of these receivers and tight ends to break out a bit over the course of the next eight games. But it doesn't seem to be a huge spot other than you could have an injury on the O-line that could be pretty bad. Other than that, it looks like the depth is in a pretty good spot right now.
Well, you're right about the running backs. I think you have, and this is by no means to denigrate any of the three that you had mentioned in Ramirez, in Gilliam, and in Arsenault. They each have their role, and they are very good backs and could be feature backs. But right now, it's apparent that, I don't know if you want to call it thunder and lightning or not, but you have two guys in Donaldson and in Luke that any time they touch the football, they're capable of taking it the distance. Luke, if he gets to the outside or plants the foot and gets a step, he's done. He's gone. That's it. And you're not going to, like the Panish said, you're not going to catch him. Donaldson can do it between the tackles, but he has shown that when he breaks it, he is very difficult to run down. He's very strong, and he's very fast, and he's a terrific back. And if those two guys are healthy, they are going to carry the load. It is heartening to know that you have a security blanket behind them. quarterbacking wise, Jackson, I do have to ask you about the start of the game. Now, again, it was FCS, but it is apparent that one of the things that they wanted, talking about Matt Entz and Davis and everybody, they wanted a little bit of boost of confidence for Warner. Do you think that's the reason they threw it early?
I think so. I think also just for the offense in general, they've kind of proved that they can do it and that they can execute it. And I think Jabal is a good example where he's out there on the opening drive catching a game-opening touchdown pass, whereas he hardly played at all the first three games. I believe there was two he didn't play at all and got a few snaps late against Georgia Southern. Now, Josiah Freeman being hurt, it's had a little bit to do with it, but it's a chance to kind of ease that player into an FCS opponent that he didn't have a chance in the first three games. All those games were supposed to be very close, skipping in with little margin for error. Obviously, only one of them turned out that way, but this was the chance to break a player like that into the game. And then, in general, just the passing game, it was a chance to air it out a bit and take some chances and some risks, and where if you did make a mistake, if you did throw that interception, it wasn't going to cost you. And fortunately, they were successful, and they didn't make the mistake. They took some shots, and it went their way even. So it was the perfect storm of having the opportunity but also executing it.
You know, I don't want to ignore the past, and the Bulldogs, particularly of recent vintage, have stubbed their toe against schools that are going to be left behind in the Mountain West. They lost at Air Force. They were beaten soundly at UNLV. They've had their problems with San Jose State, with Hawaii as well, though the officials helped out last year. So I'm not saying, okay, you're head and shoulders above everybody, you're leaving. And, of course, New Mexico won at UCLA. And, by the way, talking to an administrator around the Pac-12 said, you know what, if you're looking to the future, pay close attention to Cal and Sacramento State, because this administrator believes in some form those two schools, now he's saying in some form they will arrive in the near future in the Pac-12. It doesn't mean in football, it might be an associate membership. Maybe he needs to include UCLA as well. Okay, I know the Bruins are making a ton of money, but you cannot allow New Mexico to come in and stomp all over you, and we wish Tim Skipper well. I hope he has tremendous success. I know the odds are stacked against him keeping that job, but I'd love nothing more than to see Tim have a great year with the Bruins. But I'll tell you what, in the Big Ten, it's going to be a very, very difficult row to hoe. That having been said, Jackson, when you look right now at the teams that Fresno State will face for the remainder of this year, and in particular beginning next year, it's going to be a fascinating Pac-12, even at 8, because it doesn't appear you're going to have a week off at any point, are you? You're certainly not going to have a week off this year, are you?
Yeah, right now it feels like we're at a point in the Mountain West right now with this current 12-team setup where there's just a lot of parity. It feels like the top's not as strong and the bottom's not as weak, and most of those schools that are in the upper half will be joining Oregon State and Washington State that are kind of in the same boat. Now, those two schools had horrendous weekends this past weekend. In Oregon State case, a tougher opponent, but you never thought Washington State would play like they did against North Texas. But in general, it's a lot of peer group schools on even playing fields, and that's just part of the way that things have gone for the last decade or two. It feels like there's just been big gaps within the WAC and the Mountain West, and now it looks like you're in a spot where, unless someone really emerges, and there's really not a huge landslide favorite or bottom feeder in this new setup. And I know Boise State's had a real run in the Mountain West as far as being projected to win every year, and they've done it some of the time, not all the time, but they're not a far and beyond favorite, I don't think, either this year or in the years to come.
Now, when I talk about the future, foreseeable future, we're, of course, talking about when the contracts end at the end of this decade. Don't misunderstand. And this administrator said the same thing you and I have said, Jackson. I think everybody knows it. It's not a newsflash. If the money continues to flow, nobody's going to leave where they're at. But if the money doesn't flow in the next contract, we are going to see people look back toward home. Despite UCLA's failings right now, as long as the Bruins are umbilically tied to USC, they, like Oregon, of course, having tremendous success, and then Washington, they're going to stay where they are. But I will ask you one more time. Of the 10 teams that left, it would appear the four corner schools, as long as the money is there, and I don't mean it's going to be $31.6 million, the new contract, but it's going to be substantial. The four, of course, in the Big Ten we just talked about, but the Cal and Stanford ones, those are the question marks. Do you think that it is going to be financially viable for those schools to stay in the ACC? Never mind where they would go to afterward. Do you believe in the start of the 2030s, when the new contract comes around, those two schools will still be in the ACC?
I think it depends what the ACC looks like. And ideally, without finances involved, I think they would like to be there regardless of who might be left. But I think the big thing is that if the ACC does get its top 2, 4, 6 schools
right.
coached off the top, that next contract is not going to be nearly worth it. It's not going to be worth nearly as much, and that's going to make life a lot more difficult to handle all that travel without the potential money that could have come from that next contract. So I think just a lot of what ifs there. I think also you might even look at, there's been some rumblings about conferences maybe even downsizing to the Big Ten or the SEC.
Right.
If you have a chance to kick out a Vanderbilt or a UCLA, if you know, they're falling short and kind of or a breakaway between kind of the top teams in those conferences, and that's where you might see some free agents out here. But I don't think anyone's really all that eager to, you know, there's no clear path from where they're at now to where they want to be outside of the schools that got to where they already wanted to be, the Big Ten programs and to a lesser extent the Big 12s. I'm sure that they're feeling pretty good about where they're at.
And one more time, top four in the ACC, when we're talking about Clemson and North Carolina and Florida State and Miami, if they want to go to the SEC, that grant of rights will not be an issue because ESPN has whole exclusivity without sharing it with anybody over both the ACC and the SEC. So it's simply shifting money from one pocket to the other. The other thing, as we've talked over and over again, it impacts Fresno State out here and anybody who's waiting to see who's going to be joining your conference in the long term. Big difference, as you know, Jackson, between state-funded universities, UCs, Cal States out here, versus private institutions. And so I know the Stanfords of the world and the Cals would like to stay in a prestigious conference. But there's a big difference between Stanford making that decision or USC making that decision than UCLA or Cal. And right now it's okay because the monies are still there, or at least promised for Cal and Stanford. But what you're saying is what we've talked about over and over again. They are not, the networks are not, when the two ships sail away, as we've said, probably the P2 and then the just under other two, they are not going to pay for every team across the board in every conference. They are going to pay for those teams in the conference that make them money. So if you're a bottom feeder in the conference, you are not going to get grandfathered along. That's the reason, as you know, Oregon State and Washington State got left behind because they weren't generating revenue in the eyes of the networks. Though, if Cal and Stanford would have gotten their heads out of their rear ends, there still would have been a Pac-10. But that's, you know, one more time, water that long since, Jackson, went either under the bridge or over the dam. All right, so that's just the way it is. We'll see how it impacts Fresno State. All right, last question for you. As we stand right now, we'll talk about Hawaii on Thursday. Do you believe the Bulldogs will be in the final two when this conference shakes out at the end of the year to play for the title game, whether it's at home or on the road? Is that your belief, or is it too early to say that?
I think it's too early. I think Fresno State's done about all they can to this point to feel good about their opportunity to do so. They could go straight to Hawaii and lose on Saturday, and that might be the end.
Right.
They don't catch up some teams and get some tiebreakers to go their way. So it's a little early to say. Hawaii's kind of in a similar boat with their resume. A lot of teams we had high expectations for haven't looked as good as we thought from the conference in the first 3-4 weeks, and some teams like New Mexico, we had pretty much no expectations for, have overachieved. So Still trying to make heads or tails out of some of these results. Utah State opens up conference play with a big win against Air Force last weekend. So still a lot to figure out. But I think the good thing is that there's no one on your schedule you don't feel like you can beat, which gives you a chance to compete at the end of the year for that title. You're just not exactly sure where some of these teams are, how difficult they're going to be. Again, you Bulldogs went to Utah State till November, so it's a lot of time to figure out who that team is, how much better Boise State looks in the coming weeks than
right.
they did against USF. Just a lot of variables still, but I think Fresno State's done enough the first four games to prove that they can compete with everyone left on the schedule, and now it's time to do it.
Well, we'll talk about Hawaii on Thursday with Jackson. And Mexico saying now, boy, we wish we could play in the Big Ten the whole time. Clearly, we can trample this conference. That's what they're saying in Lobo Land right now. They said, bring on the upper echelon. Come on. Ohio State, Michigan, let's go. Come on, Penn State, we're ready for all of you. So if they're saying that, Jackson, you might want to get a psychiatrist ready for everybody there at Albuquerque. All right, what's going on the board right now, special-wise?
Yeah, it's currently $1 for your first month to try out VIP, and it's also 30% off a year if you want to join for the full year.
Well, well worth it. And, again, check it out at barkboard.com. Jackson, appreciate it. We'll talk Hawaii on Thursday, my friend. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, to Pack co-host Jackson Moore. We'll take a break, come back, tell you about schedule, hand it off to Phil. A major wager Monday doubleheader tonight as far as NFL games on both 1430 and 790. Get to the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. About 2:52. A few minutes ago on the show, handed off to Phil's outstanding show behind the bench. Normally 3-6, 3-4 today. Doubleheader of NFL football coming up. We'll talk about the schedule in just a moment. But first, if you're on your way home right now a little bit early, or you're looking for dinner in a couple of hours, again, make sure you stop by our local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Stop in, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State, and take advantage of the great deals they have right now. For a limited time, they have brought back the hot and spicy wings and potato wedges, which everybody loves. Just a limited time, so jump on in and grab those. And also keep in mind, their legendary KFC chicken sandwich remains bigger and better than ever. Only $3.99. Again, that's not forever. That is a limited time offer as this football season is rolling into full force, both college and the National Football League. So stop on in the local KFCs in Fresno and Clovis, Selma, Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two, or pick up the wedges or wings or the fried chicken sandwich. And tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State. Again, we always want to thank those local operators of KFC in Fresno, in Clovis, in Selma, and Kerman. As far as the schedule goes, for both 1430 and 790, brought to you by Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof, 449-4500, or precisioneng.net for more information. Again, Ed does such great fundraising work for the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at Fresno State. And so many of those graduates head right to Precision to work for his terrific company, which helps so many people in the Central Valley. As far as the lineup goes, Major Wager Monday actually starts at 7 o'clock tonight, normally 5, but with the doubleheader, here's what's going to happen. The network game, the Westwood 1 Monday night game, 4 o'clock on 1430 today. That is the matchup between the Bucks and the Texans. Then at 6:30 over on 790, it will be the Raiders and the Chargers in Vegas. 7 o'clock, Major Wager Monday gets started at Me and Ed's Victory Grill, Granite Park, Cedar in Dakota. Carter and the whole gang out there. It's a great time. Giveaways, terrific atmosphere, big screen TV, and great food, obviously, for Me and Ed's. So stop on in. The Raiders look pretty good under Pete Carroll, and the Chargers look terrific under the meteoric Jim Harbaugh. You know, when you hire Jim Harbaugh, you're going to have great success. And at some point, it's going to come crashing back down to earth. But right now it's going pretty good for the Chargers. Should be a terrific game tonight. Those games, by the way, are split between ABC and ESPN television-wise. As far as the Giants go, they're starting a very critical week, as they have three in Arizona. D-backs are right on their heels, and then four against the Dodgers. The Giants have winnable games next week with St. Louis. The Cardinals are still in the wild card hunt, but the Giants have the Cardinals and the Rockies at home next week. So if they can find a way to get some wins on the road in Phoenix and in L.A., they might have a shot to pull this off. They hurt themselves yesterday. I mean, they got killed yesterday, but the Mets were close to losing yesterday. The Mets came back to win, and they're back up a game and a half. But the Giants only back one in the loss column. But a lot of teams around them still, including the D-backs, the Reds, who got swept by the A's. Thank you to the A's. The Giants need to send them a nice greeting card about that. And the Cardinals are still around a little bit. And by the way, the Mets start a series tomorrow at home against the Padres, who are still trying to chase down the Dodgers. So a lot going on, and we'll get back to the Giants tomorrow. As far as the schedule for our shows on a normal basis, Phil normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rad Avedikian. Nothing like it in all of California, the best furniture on the planet. El Paso across from River Park, again, great conversation of Phil's show. The Lee's Air hotline to give him a call if you're not there in person at 559-320-1430. But also check out the best furniture anywhere, and there's also good eats around there at the time. So stop on and see Phil at Fashion Furniture on Thursdays. Paul Minter's with you with two fine shows on 790, the Sunbird Sports Show, on Wednesday, 6 to 7, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then on Saturday mornings, the long-running Central Valley Sports Report, live from First String Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on 1430. We are with you each and every weekday at 2 o'clock. You can reach me, TDAD1 at att.net, TDAD, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. I'm behind on emails. I'll do the best I can. Matt Norville will be with me tomorrow, by the way, to go over the game, because Matt called it, of course, for Channel 47 on Saturday night. Also, you've got everything for the station at 1430 ESPNFresno.com. Get the live links and podcasts there. The app also makes it a lot easier to listen. Want to remind you one more time about Bulldog Bread Collective. That is extremely important. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbread.com. Bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. And then finally, the Giants, the A's, everything through the World Series. We've got all of that with the local affiliations and ESPN Radio. Everything for the Rams, Raiders, and 49ers, and the national games through Westwood One and the local affiliates all the way through the Super Bowl. The Lakers get started in about a month, and we've got everything from the Lakers on their network and everything through the NBA Finals from ESPN Radio, and then locally already underway with Friday Night Lights. Terrific matchups every Friday night, high school-wise, that'll carry from football to basketball, to baseball, Phil, Paul Metters, Pat Hill, whenever the Bulldogs are at home. So it's a great lineup on 1430 and 790. And check everything out, again, at the website. It'll keep you updated on everything going on. Anyway, thanks again to Jackson Moore for his time. Thanks, as always, to Jorge for his great work. Phil coming up for an hour, and then it is time for football on both stations. We will see you guys tomorrow with Matt Norville on KFIG Fresno.